Yes, we can do that. We just have to want to do that. And we have to want to vote for the right people. There's a whole lot of things that we can do. We just have to do it right. And so here we are again on this Friday afternoon. Good afternoon, my friend. Steve Ahlstrom here with you for the Steve Ahlstrom Show. We do this every weekday from 4 to 6 p.m. Heading home with Ahlstrom as you're finishing your day. And apologies to those of you who are just starting your day, because I know there's some of you out there who are in that position. Some of you might be halfway through your day. And if you're someone like me, you still got a couple hours to go, but you don't mind it anyway. I will say, it would be nice to be outside on a day like today. I will say that. Is it not a perfect fall day or what? Congratulations to every high school that scheduled homecoming for tonight, because you probably are having a parade right about now. You're going to have a football game tonight. Hopefully the team wins. The popcorn is probably going to taste pretty good on a night like tonight. The sky is blue. It just feels great. And boy, these days, it's just a Norman Rockwell painting, I think, when you've got Friday night in the fall and it's homecoming at the local high school. Hopefully it will be a good night for you, even if you don't go to a football game. We've got a lot to do here on the show today, but I will tell you this, my friend. We are guest-free today. I'm not bragging about that. I actually had somebody scheduled for a day, but it didn't work out. And I said, you know what? Heck with you. We're just going to go without guests today. And I will let anybody call on whatever topic you want to talk about. So this is your chance. If you ever thought, I'm going to give Ahlstrom a call and give him a piece of my mind, well, this is your day. This is a judgment-free zone. I'm not going to chew anybody out. I might attempt to understand where you're coming from. I guess you could say something nice about this show if you wanted to do that. Or maybe say, you know, Ahlstrom, I've never heard you talk about this before. What do you think about this? And I'll be glad to do that. I've got a whole lot of interesting things to talk about today, so it's not as though we have a shortage of topics. Nary a day do we wind up in that kind of situation, and we certainly are not there today. But I do love having conversations with all of you when you give a call. Well, there's a couple exceptions, but those people, I think everybody probably knows who they are. But hey, everybody's welcome, and we'll take a call from whoever. If you've got a question or a comment, or you want to have an honest conversation, that's all good. We don't have a whole lot of rules here, but you can't be an idiot on the phone. That's about the only one. I'm the only one who gets to be an idiot on this show. So there you go. All right. 701-271-1100 is the phone number. If you would like to give us a call, please do that. We'll get you in as quickly as we possibly can. Studio@flagfamily.com is the email address. You can also shoot us a text message today. I'm back in the studio, so we can do that. Was in Watford City yesterday, where I love being. It reminds me of growing up at home, the kind of town I grew up in. So I love being out there, but love coming back and hanging out with everybody here, too. And Tracy's here, so I get to come home to my lovely lady. So it's all good coming back home. Steve Ahlstrom Studios, built on a solid foundation thanks to our sponsor, Precision Concrete Cutters and Ramjack North. Your home is your greatest asset. Protect it. Go to pccnd.com to learn more. Addison Leger is our producer today, and Addison does a great job. I don't tell him that enough. I try to tell him, but usually we've finished the show already, so I want all of you to know Addison is the man and does an awesome job juggling all the balls that we have here between 4 and 6 o'clock. So thank you, Addison. All right, let's get to it here. It's the 4 o'clock wrap. That's how we start every show here with the some of the big stories making news on this day, and we like to give you kind of a tale of the tape for the day as well. We call it the 4 o'clock wrap, semi-automatic storylines as we go rapid fire, catching you up on what has been a busy and eventful day. We start with the almanac for today, September 20th, 2024. Average high has dropped now a degree to 70. 70 the average high. Last time I looked, we were at 80. So I think we're about 10 degrees over that. And I don't think anybody's complaining. 47 the average low. Record high 91 in 1891. So way back then, they got into the 90s. On this day in 1918, though, it was only 22. What? Building fires on this day back in 1918. Sunrise this morning at 7:12. Sunset, 7:27. In the markets today, it was a mixed day on Wall Street. We wondered what kind of follow-up we'd have after yesterday. The market had a big bounce after the Fed interest rate cut announcement, and we wondered if this was a dead cat bounce. They say even a dead cat bounces. It's a market term I've heard a million times from I don't know when, but that's what they say. It might have happened yesterday. I don't know. Or it might just be kind of sitting here waiting for some news to go one direction or the other. But the Dow was up 38 points, S&P 500 down 11, NASDAQ down 65. WTI crude oil today basically unchanged, $71.70 a barrel. Gold today up $32.50 at $2,647. Silver up 7 cents at $31.49. And Bitcoin basically unchanged today at $63,000. AAA says the average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas nationwide is $3.22. North Dakota's at $3.14, Minnesota $3.09, and South Dakota's at $3.09 as well. So all three states within about 5 cents. That doesn't often happen, but that's where we are today. All right, let's bring you up to date on some of the stories making headlines here today. The adult son of U.S. Senator Kevin Cramer pleaded guilty today to all the charges he faced in connection with a car chase crash that killed a North Dakota sheriff's deputy. Valley News Live has a very good write-up on this today. Cramer, 43 years of age, Ian Cramer, changed his plea earlier this week, and the charges, including homicide while fleeing a police officer, preventing arrest, reckless endangerment, driving under suspension, a whole bunch of drug charges as well. The judge has ordered a mental and substance abuse evaluation ahead of his sentencing. The prosecution has not agreed at this point to recommend a lower sentence as part of the plea deal. The homicide offense alone is punishable in North Dakota by up to 20 years in prison and a $20,000 fine. Kevin Cramer has said his son suffers from serious mental disorders, which manifest in severe paranoia and hallucinations. We wish the best for the Cramer family. It is 10 years to this day that Tommy Bearson went missing and was declared eventually dead as he had enrolled at North Dakota State University. Morehead Police today shared one of the more detailed updates on the investigation in this 10-year unsolved mystery there. The agency says it's reviewing DNA evidence that they have collected over time. You might remember his body was found in a Morehead RV sales lot 3 days later. He went missing on this day in 2014. Captain Derek Swenson did interviews and made comments to a number of media organizations here, and he is asking people to come forward that may have some knowledge of what happened right there. He said, one of the quotes I saw, we're trying to figure out how to get a hold of people that didn't want to get someone else in trouble. There may have been people that were afraid to say what information they had. Now that you're 10 years older at a different point in your life, where are you? What are you willing to share? He would not say if there are any suspects or persons of interest, but they keep investigating and they say they will not stop until they get some clarity on the case. It is the first day of early voting in Minnesota today. Locations will be open until 7 o'clock, until 7 o'clock on Tuesday, October 29th, in different locations across the state. If you are interested in finding out where to vote in the state of Minnesota, where you can vote early, you can go to the Secretary of State's website, sos.state.mn.us, or just type in your search bar there, Secretary of State, Minnesota, and you can find that out. But yes, early voting off and running in Minnesota. North Dakota DOT, according to Valley News Live, is reminding people, plan now to get your real ID because the deadline is quickly approaching where you'll need one. If you don't have one, when we get to May 7th of next year, you will not be able to board a plane or enter certain federal buildings. You need extra documents to make your ID more secure, harder to counterfeit, and help get rid of fraud. So get that taken care of now. Not a bad idea. How many of us wait till the last minute on things like that? The Forum reports today that a federal judge has tossed out a lawsuit that would have overturned a new Minnesota law making it illegal to knowingly spread false information about voting prior to an election. I'll read that one more time because there's a lot there. A federal judge has thrown out a lawsuit, so the lawsuit's dead, that would have overturned a Minnesota law that made it illegal to knowingly spread false information about voting. It was filed by the conservative group Minnesota Voters Alliance. It argues the new law is unconstitutional because it could open people up to prosecution for stating sincerely held beliefs. like, quote, felons don't have the right to vote. The legislation was a target of conservative ire even before it passed. Yeah, who decides what's controversial? That's my problem there. Also in the news today, the state of Minnesota reports that its labor force participation during the month of August was 67.7. This measures the population percentage that is working or actively seeking work. They had some job growth in Minnesota. They say they added 14,400 jobs, the largest monthly gain since July 22nd. And I know where you're going. You're saying, okay, how many of them are government jobs, right? Well, the leading sectors in this particular report were leisure and hospitality, education and health services, which generally is government jobs. But number three, professional and business services. Those are the ones that we want to see. And leisure and hospitality, that's also good there too. And wages in Minnesota grew twice as fast as inflation over the month. I will tell you that every piece of government data I see right now on economy, jobs, employment, everything, I just take with a grain of salt. But it wasn't a 20% decrease or an increase, anything like that. So I put it out to you. You can decide what you want to do with it. But yes, I am skeptical these days. We've just seen too much to not be. All right. The Associated Press reports that a 5-page document summarizing the key conclusions of the attempted assassination on President Trump in July was released today on Capitol Hill. The main finding was that communication breakdowns with local law enforcement hampered the Secret Service's performance on that July afternoon. The document lays out a litany of missed opportunities to stop a gunman who opened fire from an unsecured roof. So it's the coordination with the local people that really was the problem. Coming up here in a little bit, you're going to hear from Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin and Larry Kudlow from The Kudlow Show today. And these guys are both laying it out there like, we think there's way too many excuses here, and we got to be way better than this. And this report today is why people are irritated, because there's not any kind of, hey, it's on us. We didn't do it right. We got to be better. It's, well, it's their fault. CNBC reports that the Federal Trade Commission today sued three large U.S. health companies that negotiate insulin prices. And the FTC is arguing that the drug middlemen used practices that boosted their profits while artificially inflated costs for patients. You're supposed to be helping people. The suit targets the three biggest so-called pharmacy benefit managers, United Health Group's Optum, CVS Health's Caremark, and Cigna's Express Scripts. All are owned by or connected to health insurers and collectively administer about 80% of the nation's prescriptions. Companies behaving badly. And a couple lighter notes here for you to close out the 4 o'clock wrap. The Parade of Homes Fall Edition is kicking off today. The Red River Valley Building Industry Association is going. It's actually happening starting tomorrow, September 21st, and then next weekend as well. Homes are open for viewing until 5 o'clock Saturday and Sunday, 3 to 7 on Mondays. And if you want to find out more about the Parade at Homes, you can go to paradefm.com, paradefm.com. Very easy. Always fun to look at new houses, isn't it? Even if you're not in the market for some. It can be dangerous, though. Not going to tell you it isn't. And finally, North Dakota has a couple of towns that have made the list of, quote, most Instagrammable, the social media thing where you take a picture and then say something about it. The survey was conducted by, look, I'm just passing it along. You can decide if you think it matters. The survey was conducted by temporarydumpster.com in all of its pageantry and glory, right? I mean, who of us hasn't at some point said to our friend, you know, that's a good long-standing company, big on integrity. They've been there since the beginning at temporarydumpster.com. Anyway, it included reviews from more than 3,000 experienced travelers who shared their insights on America's most Instagrammable hidden towns. Towns in North Dakota include Medora, which you might not be surprised to hear, near the Teddy Roosevelt National Park. That's number 23. And at number 79, checking in, is Ellendale, North Dakota. Ellendale, North Dakota. I got to go back to Ellendale. I was there 100 years ago to shoot a high school football game. They had a really, really good running back there. This would have been, when would this have been? Early 2000s, maybe? Mid 2000s? Had a really good running back down there. I think he went to NDSU. Don't know that he turned into a star there, but I think he was a good player for a little while. But I do not recall Ellendale being like, whoa, I want to move here. I don't remember feeling that way at all, but there's a lot of cool North Dakota towns with that good kind of country charm. The number one town was Cold Spring, New York, by the way. So I don't know where Cold Spring, New York is, but apparently it's very picturesque there. So those, friends, are the stories making headlines here today, and a couple little kickers on a Friday. We got to keep it light here on the Steve Alstrom Show. All right, that's the 4 o'clock wrap for today. When we come back on the show, just getting started, speaking of North Dakota high school games, if you're going to one tonight, you better behave. There's a new policy for ejecting fans that's going into effect. That and more coming up next on the Steve Alstrom Show. 425 here. Before we get to the high school athletics story that I talked about a minute ago, I said, callers go to the front of the line. Matt in Moorhead wants to talk. Hey, Matt, what's going on today?
Hey, Steve, not a whole lot. I've just been thinking kind of the last week or two leading up to this election here that if Trump does happen to lose this time around, do you think it'd be similar to 2020 in the way that he would contest the results of the election? Or do you think that he might just kind of concede the night of?
Great question. So I think some of it will depend on, well, not some of it will depend on, he's not a sitting president this time, so he won't be able to rally the kind of infrastructure to make a rally about it like he was able to last time. I think it matters how the election plays out. He's not a good loser. He's a poor loser. I can't say much because I am too. I know the feeling. So he's going to go down kicking and screaming if he feels like there has been injustice in some way. And I can't tell you if A plus B equals C on this because we don't know what might happen. I do know the conservative groups have a lot more people that are doing the poll watching, and the Crowder organization has a lot of people that are going to be live video streaming. So if they try to put up, you know, plywood over the viewing windows again, that won't go. I think it just depends on what happens. If it's an election where we, like last time, we had, you know, in the middle of the night they stopped counting ballots, and then all of a sudden they came back again in the morning in many different areas, and all of a sudden Biden surged ahead, that it's going to look bad. So I think it just depends on how the execution is handled at the polling locations. And if we have things that, you know, the voting and the tabulation is done orderly, and you don't have, oh gosh, we had some water main break, or there's the video doesn't surface of people pulling out boxes of ballots from, you know, all the stuff that was in 2000 mules, then I don't think he'll like it. I think he'll probably find a reason to make a protest about it. But it just depends on if the rest of the country on the conservative side feels like, okay, I'm looking at this video right here. I'm looking at this picture right here. We've got this testimony from this person right here, and it's not right what happened. That will obviously give more fuel to that fire. So I think it just depends an awful lot. But he's told you that he's not going to go down without a fight if he thinks that wrongdoing was done. But he will not be able to hold a January 6th rally like he did last time around. That'd be my answer to your question.
Yeah. Would you expect the Harris team to do the same, in the sense of if they end up losing? I mean, I don't really know what your betting odds are. I think mine are about 50-50. But do you think if Harris loses that she might struggle to concede as well? Or do you think that they wouldn't play out like that?
Well, yeah, thanks, Matt. I'll let you go and answer that offline because we got to get to news, but thank you for calling. So I think my odds right now are 60. That's maybe a little strong. 55-45 Trump. I just don't believe the country's really going to elect Kamala Harris. She continues to do interviews, and they continue to go horribly. She's, again, losing momentum. She got some after the debate. She's losing it. now. And I just don't see her being able to sustain her momentum. I think people are going to look into what she's all about. And I think the Trump vote is generally undersampled in polls. What will Kamala Harris and her people do? I don't know. When Trump got inaugurated, they started rioting kind of on the spot. So as far as on election night, I don't know. Obviously, the inauguration riots I'm talking about happened during the inauguration, not on election night. They will fight some way, somehow. I don't know how they'll do it, but she could hold a January 6th rally because she's in office. She's in D.C., and she could do something similar, no doubt about that. I don't know if they would do it the same way, but yes, I think politics has become so important. And I think the left will do anything they can to hold on to their power. So they might do it differently, where it's not a rally and people saying this or that. But, you know, they'll try to do it, you know, through the courts possibly, or some other way to do it. But yeah, neither side is going down without a fight, I don't think. We've just gotten past, I think, that point where you know, considering the candidates involved and the current temperature that we have with the elections, I don't think it's going to always be this way, but I think this election will be hotly contested and the loser will not be happy. 431 Steve Hallstrom Show. We'll get to our high school athletic story in a moment. First, though, time for a check of weather. First, though, we go to the newsroom and check in with our Flag Family News team. They've been keeping an eye on things here this afternoon. So first, some news and then weather when we come back on the Steve Hallstrom Show. All right, thank you very much, Chris. 4:33, time to check in with the Skywatch Weather Center. Meteorologist Justin Storm is on duty. Justin, we've decided to renew your contract for another year after today.
All right, let's go.
It has been an absolutely gorgeous fall day.
Oh, it sure
what
has.
A perfect day today has been. Wow.
It sure has, Steve. And temperatures reported at the airport right now are at 79 degrees and on reporting 80, and here at our studios hitting 81. Now, you're probably wondering why I'm bringing up three different temperature readings right now.
No, it's kind of what you guys do. I'm not so confused about that.
But the cool thing is if Hector reports 80 degrees, which I suspect that it will, since it was last reported a half hour ago at 79 and Endon, the other ones were over 80. This will be the 13th consecutive day that we've been at 80 degrees or warmer for September. And the significant thing about that is that would tie the record for the most consecutive days at 80 degrees or warmer for September at 13. That was set back in 1908. So it's been a while since we've had 13 days, and tied for third is at 8 days. So it's been a very warm September out there, and I'm pretty sure that we're at 80 degrees at Hector, but we'll have to wait and see until tomorrow morning.
Yeah, but you know what else happened today, Justin?
What's
that? On this day back in 1891, it got up to 91 degrees. That's the record high temperature.
Mm-hmm.
I am amazed that whenever I look at these high temperature records, they're all over the place.
Sure.
This one was 1891. Some of them are last year, right? But it just really reminds me of the fact that, yeah, we might have a unusually long string of days, but we've had these blips of hot temps whenever throughout the years.
Yeah, we definitely have, especially back in the 30s is when a lot of some of our August and July all-time high temperatures across the state were set back in just those drought conditions back in the 30s. And there have been hit or miss ones in between then and now, but it just goes to show that it's been it's been very hot in the past before, and it at times will continue to be very hot.
Well, we've had a warm run here since December, going back maybe a year. We have. There's no doubt about that. I think the thing I get a little bit discouraged by is when people say, well, it's because we got too many cows or airplanes, and that's why. It's like we will never have any way of knowing why it's warm today, and it might be cool tomorrow. There's just no way to know that.
Yeah, you definitely need to have a larger spread in weather data than just the past 160 years, whatever
that
number happens
to
be.
Yeah.
There are times in history where temperatures have been much hotter than they actually have been overall consecutively than they are now. It's just, that was quite a while ago, but it all just falls in cycles is my thought behind it. And we're in definitely one of those warm cycles for the last decade. It has been warm, and each year almost has been a little warmer than the last year. And we'll continue to watch for some nice warm temperatures in our forecast above average for the next week. Today, again, about 80 right now. We should be done warming for the day as we reach peak heating. The wind has backed off a little bit as well. It's only at about 6 miles an hour to the west-southwest, and we'll see some light winds continuing through this evening into the overnight hours, about 5 to 10 as it switches out of the southeast. It will be mainly clear for this evening and tonight. We'll drop down to a low in the mid to upper 50s, and as we head towards your Saturday morning, well, a cold front's going to be swinging our way, so clouds will briefly increase towards Saturday morning, likely going to see a few spotty showers. It's not going to rain everywhere, and even if it does rain, it will be brief. Don't expect really anything measurable out of it either. The more significant thing will be what's behind that cold front will be the strong wind associated with that picking up through the mid-morning hours here in the valley, early morning out in central North Dakota. We'll have a northwest wind around 20 to 40 miles an hour with some localized areas gusting as high as 50, but the winds will back off as we head through the afternoon. It will be windy, but there'll be lightning through the day with partly cloudy skies and a high near 70, and by your Saturday evening and Saturday night, the wind is light. We'll drop down to low temperatures overnight Saturday, upper 30s to mid 40s. So some spots a little chilly. And we'll kind of repeat that for Sunday. We're just going to get rid of the wind. Partly cloudy, light northwest winds, highs in the upper 60s to near 70. So a little cooler weekend than we're used to, but we're back in the 70s for next week's
season. So I have to admit to you, Justin, I have started to take a look at whatever I can find on the internet for a long range forecast for Minneapolis, because 2 weeks from Sunday is Twin Cities Marathon. And that's the culmination of my whole summer, basically, of training for that. And one of the websites I saw, I forget, Weather Underground or something like that, had a 2 week spread for Minneapolis, and like every day was partly cloudy with a 15% chance of rain and like a wind at 10 miles an hour. It seems like we're in a real, at least in Minneapolis area, in a very stable pattern without a whole lot of chances of precipitation.
No, it's going to be a very quiet next week as we just kind of get stuck with, you know, I'm not going to say the same forecast each day. You know, it'll be a little warmer, but 70s for next week. By the end of next week and the beginning of the following week, so this would put us at the end of September, beginning of October. I think the beginning of October more. I am expecting another larger storm system to be rolling somewhere in the northern or central plains. We'll keep an eye on that. But what would be behind it would be cold air in Canada getting tapped into. Okay. So that would likely bring us a threat of some frost. So we'll keep a very close eye on that. But up until then, the next week, it's looking nice with above average temperatures. And a good app you could use to look at long range extended forecasts, please use the LRC, which is what we use well. You can look at the Global Predictor app, and that's just Global Predictor. You can search on iPhone or Android, and that will give you a several month forecast as well for any spot in the entire world.
Okay. I will have to check that out. Global Predictor. I'm Googling it right now. So very good,
sir.
Yep,
you'll be able to find it there as well.
Yeah, we can have rain. We can have cold. We just can't have the heat. It can't be 90 degrees. That's going to ruin the whole thing. So the fans don't mind it, but the runners.
The runners want a cool, dry day.
We end up like lobsters. Yeah.
For sure.
All right, Justin, thanks so much, buddy. Have a great day.
Weekend. Steve. And this weather is brought to you by Air Mechanical of Fargo today.
Very good. Global Predictor app, friends. Now we're learning together here on this Friday afternoon. All right, when we come back, I've got to get to this story about high school athletics in North Dakota. Did you know that if you get kicked out, there are some penalties? It's not just you kicked out that night, but there's some long-range repercussions for you, my friend. We'll talk about that when we come back on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Join us October 17th at the Avalon Event Center in Fargo for an insightful, thought-provoking, and entertaining evening with two of the region's best media and civic minds, Michelle Tafoya and Liz Collin. Michelle Tafoya has starred on some of the biggest stages in pro sports and is the host of the Michelle Tafoya podcast on Salem Networks. Liz Collin is a rising national star after a decorated career in the Twin Cities TV news industry, having recently dropped the bombshell documentary, The Fall of Minneapolis. We'll be in the final weeks of the campaign season. Both Liz and Michelle are connected and credible media personalities who are able to analyze media trends and biases as voters get ready to make some big decisions that have a massive impact on our region and our country. You'll laugh, you'll think, and you'll be inspired to shine the light of common sense into the world around you. VIP ticket holders also are invited to a pre-show meet and greet with Michelle and Liz. Tickets start at just $15, and you can get them right now at am1100theflag.com. If you're a Flag Plus subscriber, Flag Plus member, you get a special discount even from there. So check that out, am1100theflag.com. All right, let's hit a few text messages here from the text line today. Steve, don't know if you saw this, but the Epoch Times just reported that Georgia Georgia's election board approved a rule requiring hand counting of ballots. I did see that earlier today. I should have probably had it in my rundown, but this is a good thing. No doubt about that. So thank you very much for alerting us to that one. Steve, you were talking about Ellendale. Well, in Ellendale, there is America Homeland Revival Ribs. It's fantastic. Owned by Kelly Hinton, world-class pitmaster. I drive through there daily listening to the flag. Wow, I didn't know. World-class barbecue ribs from Kelly Hinton in Ellendale, North Dakota. Sounds like a drive needs to be made. I love good ribs, man. I do miss Famous Dave's. I'll have to say Spitfire's got good ribs. There's others that have them, but, oh, man, Famous Dave's was always just so solid. And I know you can get them at the at Granite City, but it's just going there. You went there to get the ribs. It's just not quite the same doing it any other way there. Email, Mallory said, hi, I'm just wondering how many spots there are left for Scott's New York trip. I don't know. I will send that along to Scotty for you there. No doubt about that. I will say, as we're speaking about emails, the email box too, that I got an email today from the group called Keep It Local North Dakota, and they do not like this Measure 4 that would shift the paying of property taxes from the individual property owners in the state to the state government. So instead of me writing my check for whatever, $5,000, wherever my taxes are, the state of North Dakota sends it to the Fargo government, and then they spend it from there. If they want to have more taxes, which they're going to obviously need to as time goes on, they can do some other tax against you, but it can't be on the value of your property. So the reason I bring that up is the note I got today, or in this email that I got today, it talks about this. Look, you can believe whatever you want to believe about this, if it's a good thing, it's a bad thing, or whatever, but you can't be misleading people intentionally. And I'm not saying anybody's intentionally doing this, but I keep hearing about how we're going to lose local control. And this drives me crazy, because you can look at this and say, how are we going to afford it? That's a fair question. That's a fair question. I have people in the North Dakota legislature that say we can do it. So I'm saying let's give it a shot. But that's a big number. The number seems to get bigger all the time. I don't know why that is, but I've heard between $2.5 and $3 billion a year over 2 years. So, you know, whatever that is, you know, $1.25 to $1.5 billion. But that's a big number. And if you hear people break it down, they'll say that we only really have about $6 billion in discretionary money to spend in the biennium. And this would take half of it. So you'd be taking half of the money that we pay to other things, and it would go toward this. So you can have that concern. And I get it. That's worth talking about. I understand. And that can be debated. Do we have the money? Do we not? But this whole, we're going to lose the local angle on it. I don't understand why people keep saying this. Local officials are still going to get the payment for Steve's a property. It's just going to come from the state. And if there's more money that's needed locally, they're going to have to go to the people in the community like they do now, but now they just say, we need to raise your taxes, real estate taxes. And they're going to have to call it a school tax or a school fund or whatever. I mean, people find all kinds of fun ways to talk about taking your money. They're going to be able to find a way to do that. I think they're assuming that these states and counties and school boards are going to go to the state and say, well, we need more money. But why are we assuming that? You're making the assumption that that's what's going to happen, but that doesn't necessarily need to happen that way. So the whole thing about local control drives me nuts when I hear that. Debate this on the merits of this or lack thereof, but maybe it's just ignorance. I don't know, but there's some very smart people who are saying we're worried about local control. I don't know why intelligent people would be worried about local control. And I've heard a whole bunch of panels and debates on this. I just don't see that. So let's have, I don't want to say an honest debate, because that makes it sound like people are lying. And I don't think anybody's lying. But I do think that we just need to take this whole local thing out of it, because there's not any loss of local control. The money that is still going to end up in the same hands that it always did. Okay, so here's a story that we've been talking about. The organization that oversees high school athletics in North Dakota has implemented a new statewide standard for handling unruly fans. The story is this. If you get ejected from an arena during a regular season or a tournament contest, a 3-game suspension from all high school-sponsored contests at any level of competition. If there are fewer than 3 games left in the season, the suspension will carry over to the next season. And a fan who's ejected twice during a school year will be suspended for a minimum of 1 calendar year. So one time, you sit out 3 games, you do it a second time, and you cannot attend. Schools can actually jack up those penalties if they want to, but you can't reduce them. So be careful, Addison. If you're going to a high school football game tonight and you get a little unruly, I don't want to have to figure out how to explain to everybody on Monday why Addison can't go to the game next week. And we don't want any of that going on around here. So just behave yourself, young man. I've seen you on a Friday night. Addison's laughing at me. All right, 4:51. Crystal, hang on. I want to get to you, but I need to get a commercial break in first. We're going to get too far behind the clock, and then Addison will be saying bad things about me, and we don't want that. So your calls, comments, thoughts, conversations when we come back here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. I still have this great commentary from Larry Kudlow and Ron Johnson. Everybody's fed up with the Secret Service, apparently, except the Secret Service. So we got that on the way as we continue here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Oh, this tune always takes me back to my college days about 10 years ago, right? Crystal in Fargo's on the line, and Crystal wants to get in on the conversation here today. Good afternoon, Crystal. How are you?
Well, I'm really good, but I'm also kind of upset because of the inefficiencies of the FBI and shelling out the information that the Senate required and needs. And so finally, as you were saying early in the show, they get this report, la-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. It's just blatantly crazy to watch these mainstream media people try to say, well, on the one hand, you've got this, and on the other hand, you've got Trump, and kind of like almost it's made up or it's blown up out of proportion. I'm thinking, wait a second, J.D. Vance is right on. He's a target.
Yeah.
The target is on his back, and even Whistle Dink in the White House has been saying, well, the target's on him. He said that himself. And it is amazing what, you know, justifies headlines when some of these, whether it's USA Today, New York Times, whatever, they cannot admit the fact that he had an assassin's bullet at him, got his ear instead, and oh my goodness, nobody fired at the golf course. He ran away. Well, yes, because the guy probably didn't want to get shot. And that guy right now is in jail. He's on a very high-priced flight risk, you know, where they keep him in for a lot of money on bail because he's a flight risk.
Yes.
That guy, the more we learn about him, the more kooky he is.
Yeah, no doubt. So
thanks for bringing us information that we're not getting anywhere else.
Oh, yeah. We're just getting started. We've got a really good piece of audio that we're going to play for you coming up. We're not going to get to it until the second hour of the show, but we're going to do that. And you're going to really enjoy this. Well, you might not enjoy it, but you'll find it meaningful.
Well, hey, Steve.
Yeah.
Steve, I'll tell you, here at Republican headquarters at the Fargo Victory office on Main and 16th, we have been buzzing all week. We've had Trump signs. We had Trump T-shirts. We have cups and all kinds of things.
Very nice.
So next week, 16th Street and Main, Suite 100, come on over. We got all kinds of stuff.
Got the stuff. I love it. I'm glad to hear that good folks like you are getting over there and helping out at the Victory office. So good stuff. Crystal, thanks for calling.
You
have a great weekend, okay? Thanks much. All right, 4:57 here, Steve Hallstrom Show. And I want to wait till hour two to play this clip for you because it goes about 5 minutes or so. And we want to make sure that we get this in here for you so that we can play the whole thing. So with that being said, I do want to mention to you this. Visit Fargo-Moorhead. Now, a lot of us are trying to get our heads around all these different votes for tax increases we're going to have to you know, decide at the ballot box. Well, Visit Fargo-Moorhead is having a meeting October 1st to talk about this lodging tax. It would double it from 3 to 6%. That would help fund a convention center, proposed convention center there. So you just have to go to just Google visitfargomoorhead.com. You end up getting to fargomoorhead.org is the website, and you can sign up there for this Zoom call that they're doing where you can find out more about this one. So it's going to take the lodging tax from 3 to 6%. And we realize that most of us who live here don't stay in hotels. So in a way, you can say it's not directly on us to pay for it. So this one might have a chance of getting through. I don't know. I just wonder if people, if enough people say, no, I've got family that comes to town, or, you know, people that come to town for concerts, they shouldn't have to pay more for this. Do we need a convention center? All that good stuff. So your chance to get the answers that you need on October 1st. So Visit Fargo-Moorhead is hosting that one. You can check that out. All right, hour number two of the program coming up next. And the interesting way that the Washington Post is talking about this Georgia State Election Board decision today, that's next. All right, here we go. Hour number two of the Steve Alstrom Show on this Friday afternoon. Good, my friend, to be with you here today as we close out the week. Thanks very much for hanging with me here. One more hour to go in the week, and then we turn over to Mark Levin and then some high school football coming up later on tonight. So we've got open phone lines here the rest of the hour. I've got a whole bunch of stuff I want to play for you, talk about, sort of sort out with you. But phone lines are open at 271-1100, 701-271-1100. Can tell you that the Steve Hallstrom Studio is built on a solid foundation thanks to our sponsor, Precision Concrete Cutters Ram Jack North. Your home is your greatest asset. Protect it. Go to pccnd.com to find out more. All right, let's give you the 5 o'clock wrap here. These are what I believe to be the 5 most consequential stories making headlines here today. Not necessarily the 5 lead stories that other news organizations will give you, but I think these are stories that pass the so what test. So here we go. For this Friday, September 20th, 2024. Story number one, the Georgia Board of Elections has voted to require hand counts of ballots. It's funny to watch the different coverage this is getting from different places. Epoch Times put out the story, and their headline was breaking. Georgia Election Board approves rule requiring hand count of ballots. Okay, makes sense. I get what the story is about. I click on the Washington Post story about this one. Pro-Trump Georgia Election Board votes to require hand counts of ballots. Funny that when something happens that is liberal-driven, you don't see pro-Harris, pro-Biden, or if the governor of that state is, you know, Tim Walz, pro-Walz Minnesota Election Board. Interesting, isn't it? And they're little trademark is up at the top of the page. The Washington Post, democracy dies in darkness. So anyway, the story is basically what we're telling you it is here. The Georgia Board of Elections has approved a new rule that will require election workers to hand count ballots in this November's election and confirm the numbers match machine counts before the vote can be certified. It was first proposed in August, passed on a 3-2 vote. It makes Georgia the only state in the country to adopt such a requirement as part of its standard vote counting. Now, I don't know about you, but I look at this and forget about politics. Forget about if you're supposed to be on Team Red or Team Blue, the Sharks or the Jets. Whatever it is that you are supposed to believe, forget about all that for a minute. What do you take from that, what I just read? I think a reasonable human being says, oh, looks like they're being pretty thorough to make sure they've got it right. They're not saying you can't use machines, but they're saying that the hand count has to match the machine count before the vote can be certified. Sounds to me to be thorough, insightful, judicious, making sure that we have accuracy. Oh, no, but the Washington Post says these pro-Trump knuckle-draggers in Atlanta, they're trying to mess everything up. And so they right away get into their you're trying to take it apart. Look, I'm honestly trying to call balls and strikes as honestly as I can here. Critics include democracy advocates. This is the Washington Post, right? Who accuse the board of intentionally injecting chaos and uncertainty into the presidential contest. Election supervisors and poll workers say hand counts will take far too long, cost more money, and almost certainly produce counting errors. Well, if you've got to match up the machine to the hand count, you basically ensure that you won't have counting errors. I sound like Paul Harvey, don't I hear? Oh, my word. These people, it's amazing. They desperately do not want you to hand count the ballots. Desperately. I'm not saying that anything about anything in Atlanta. I'm just saying if you are that incensed about a hand count that should match the machine count, are you trying to hide something? Sure feels like it to me. Story number two, we told you earlier in our program and actually told you yesterday too about the Teamsters that are not going to endorse a candidate because they've just decided, leadership decided the people should just vote for themselves and the union shouldn't put on any undue pressure on the individual members. Well, we get this story today on the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Now, they're calling it the Minnesota Star Tribune because they want to sell more papers, but it really is Twin Cities centric. But anyway, the National Uncommitted Movement and Uncommitted Minnesota have also refused to endorse Kamala Harris. We're starting to stack up a few here. The National Pro-Palestinian Movement has expressed optimism about Tim Walz, but back home in Minnesota, the group is more critical of his dealings with Palestinian Americans. So old Tim and Kamala are having a little tough time now in different ways. Now, these people certainly aren't going to tell you to go vote for Donald Trump, but they're mad because they think that Walz and Harris haven't done enough to defend Palestinian Americans. I don't particularly care how we sort of erode the support base for Kamala Harris, Tim Walz. They may be fine people. They may be good human beings. I don't know. But their ideas and their plans for what's going to make America successful will not work. We've seen plenty of evidence of that. They cannot be allowed to win if we want what's best for this country, no doubt about that. So I thought that was interesting that you're just seeing little by little cracks in the foundation there. I don't know. Maybe there will be more. Story number three, we have talked about a little bit today, but I cannot do a section of the program where we purport to give you the most consequential stories of the day and not tell you about the communication breakdowns with local law enforcement that Secret Service people say are at issue in the July campaign rally where former President Trump was shot and wounded. A document was laid out today that lays out a litany of missed opportunities to stop a gunman who opened fire from an unsecured roof about a 9-iron away from where President Trump was standing. A 5-page document summarizes the key conclusions of a yet-to-be-finalized report. So this is sort of the executive summary about the July 13th shooting. The issues include an absence of clear guidance from the Secret Service to local law enforcement, the failure to fix line-of-sight vulnerabilities at the rally grounds that left Trump open to sniper fire, and complacency among some agents, said Ronald Rowe Jr., the agency's acting director. If you're a Secret Service in charge of protecting the president, don't you have one job? How are you complacent? I hope somewhere in this 5-page sparkling report we have somebody who says, and why the heck did you not shoot the guy when you saw a guy on a roof with a rifle and pointing it at the president? You can talk about all this other stuff. I'm sorry. I want to know why that guy didn't take out that guy when that guy saw that guy on a roof and he wasn't supposed to be there and he had a gun. That's the only thing I want an answer to on this whole deal. And then when it comes to Mar-a-Lago, and that, I want to know why didn't somebody walk down the street to see if somebody's pointing a rifle through the fence into the golf course? I'm a simple man. I want simple answers to simple questions. You can take your communication breakdowns and, no, I'm not going to say that, but you can put them on the back burner there. That's a kinder, gentler way to say what. I don't care about any of these other things. I want to know why Slice didn't take out the guy sitting on a roof with a gun when he could have done it. Oh, my gosh. They saw him there for, what, a minute? And they, that's curious. I want that answer. Story number four, Challenger, Gray, and Christmas. You may have heard of this organization. You may not have. They are a think tank, sort of a executive coaching, business consulting company. They're big into the DEI thing and the belonging movement, which, again, I don't think is all bad. I just, there's parts of it that get carried away. I like being respectful and knowing who people are and where they come from. But as we know, the whole thing's been hijacked by people who blow things way out of proportion. Anyway, they come out with this. I'm going to get emails now, aren't I, Addison? I've done it now. Macy's actually sitting in the chair. Hi, Macy. How are you? Macy's in the chair here. Macy, say something to the people. You've never been on the program before, I don't think. So fire up that mic button and say hi to the people, will you? Yep, it's the number one slider. Hit that button, power it up, and say, hi, everybody. This is Macy. All right, we're getting there. Anyway, Addison is going to be leaving us next week, not for good, but just for a few days. And so Macy, who has been training in, is hanging out today, kind of running the show, hour number two here. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
There she is. Senior at MSU Moorhead this year.
Yep.
And filling in for us, doing a whole lot of different things.
Yep.
And doing an awesome job. Everything you touch turns to gold, young lady, so you keep it up in there.
Thank you so much.
All right. I'm not sure why I thought to bring in Macy, but I wanted to have her say hi to all of you. Anyway, back to Challenger Gray and Christmas. It's a Friday. We're a little laid back here. What can I tell you? Listen to this number that these good DEI folks have come up with for us here. U.S. employers have announced in a nationwide survey, a massive survey that they have done, that they have plans to hire 79,697 workers, down 41% from last year's number. The year-to-date total is the lowest since Challenger began tracking this in 2005. You can talk all you want about how great this economy is, and Jerome Powell did that the other day. Well, the economy is relatively strong. The jobs market is relatively strong. I'm telling you, the people that have boots on the ground that are studying this day in and day out are telling you what you need to know. 41% decline from last year, what they planned to hire last year, okay? The lowest total since Challenger began tracking it in 2005. Don't tell me how great the hiring and jobs and whatever. It ain't that way. It is not. And finally, got to throw this one in here. I have a brother that's a type 1 diabetic, and so stories about diabetes and insulin get my attention. And I know that I'm not alone. Many of you either know someone or are a diabetic yourself who need the insulin. Well, the Federal Trade Commission today sued three big U.S. health companies that negotiate insulin prices, arguing that the middlemen boost their profits while artificially inflate costs for patients. The suit targets Optum Rx, which is United Health Group, CVS Health's Caremark, and Cigna's Express Scripts. The FTC may also recommend suing insulin manufacturers Eli Lilly, Sanofi, and Novo Nordisk in the future. Look, I'm one that says government needs to stay out of the private sector. But if you've got something clearly wrong here where you've got a very easily to make substance or drug, and you are intentionally inflating this in a way that doesn't make any sense, and it's not something that can be widely produced, then I have issues. So this is a very complicated conversation, don't get me wrong. I'm just giving you this story because they're getting tough on people who are trying to gouge Americans by marking up their prices. And those, friends, are what I believe to be the five most consequential stories in the news cycle today. We call it the Top 5 at 5. It's brought to you by Nancy Kelly Realty. Go to nancykellyrealty.com and find out more about Colfax Meadows, where small-town living is still a thing. All right, when we come back on the program, you and I have said the same thing, my friend. I know you have because I have. And we are birds of a feather here on the Steve Hallstrom Show, at least most of us, anywho. We are ticked off about the answers we're getting about the Secret Service and how can they be this bad at their job. We are not the only ones. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson went on Kudlow today, and he had a few things to say. You're going to hear him coming up next. All right. I am just so fed up with the lack of answers, the lack of accountability, and just the sheer incompetence that we're seeing out of the Secret Service. The Secret Service of all people. Like, we need them to be good. We do. For Democrats and Republicans alike. I'd feel the same way if they were shooting at Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. I would. Absolutely would. Don't say I wouldn't. I absolutely would. It doesn't help that it's our guy who's getting shot at left and right. And we need to figure out what is going on. It's like we should disband the whole thing, but we can't really do that. Larry Kudlow today on his show on Fox Business had on Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. And those gentlemen had a few comments about that same thing, too. And Larry Kudlow started by saying, "Like, I just don't know where to go for answers anymore."
Boy, it's so frustrating. Imagine how you must feel. At one point I want to say is, I don't, you know, accountability is a very important management tool, okay? And this guy Roe, the acting head of Secret Service, talked about accountability. He talked about penalties. He talked about discipline, at least in general terms. I mean, I don't have any confidence.
Yep.
I do not have any confidence.
Same.
That the heads of these big agencies, Secret Service, FBI, CIA, you name it, I've not seen any accountability from them in years. I've not seen any discipline. I've not seen anything from them except bias.
Yes.
That's what I've seen from them. And that's what troubles me, Senator Johnson, not just for the health and safety of my former boss, Donald Trump, but for anybody running from high office, anybody. That's what troubles me. Accountability? Really? Help me out on this, sir.
Well, we did hold former Director Cheadle accountable. She's gone.
True.
But,
she quit.
Well, this is generally, they're very good at bureaucratic gobbledygook. They know the right things to say. But, you know, we had Acting Director Roe come into the Senate last week to give us a briefing. This is how they slow walk. They come up to give us a briefing. They virtually tell us nothing. You know, what I gleaned out of that briefing was that everybody was responsible, which means nobody's responsible, which means nobody can be held accountable. That's the problem. So, you know, certainly what the Trump campaign, I would say every campaign ought to do is they ought to hire a security expert that oversees all this so that that person is responsible.
We've talked about this. Yep, it shouldn't have to happen. You shouldn't have to get Dan Bongino and a bunch of guys together, but you might have to.
Well, I'm not a fan of the federal government. I'm not sure there's ever going to be a bureaucracy that you can be, you know, hold accountable. You know, I will tell you, even Democrat chairman of our committee, you know, we've got a four-office bipartisan investigation going on. They are at their wits' end. They are losing their patience because of the lack of transparency, the slow walking, the obstruction of our investigation.
Who is the head of it?
You know why they're afraid now? Because if Donald Trump wins, they're thinking, huh, is Trump going to put in people that aren't going to care if our people get shot at? I don't care how people get to the table to say, let's figure out how to fix this. I'm just glad they're getting there.
Who's the Democratic head of the committee on this?
So it's right now Senator Gary Peters from Michigan.
Right.
And then I'm ranking member of the Permanent Subcommittee Investigation. That's Senator Richard Blumenthal from Connecticut.
Right.
So those are the two chairmen. They've got subpoena power. They're starting to talk about it.
Mm.
We're going to be issuing a preliminary report to this coming week. There again, a lot of it's just going to be confirming what you basically already know, just all the failures that you would just assume that Director Rose or Acting Director Rose talking about.
Mm.
I think there will be some interesting points that we'll probably raise some additional questions, though.
Well, OK, I know Dick Blumenthal well, and if he wants to be, he can be very constructive on this. The other thing is, Senator Johnson, look, the whole business about presidential protection right now. Right now, Mr. Trump's on the campaign trail. As you know, he's back on the campaign trail. He was in Michigan. He was in Uniondale, Long Island. He's going to be on the campaign trail. I will say Kamala Harris, not so much, but she will be on the campaign trail. Now, I just don't understand this. Mayorkas says Trump now receiving approximate level of security as Biden. And the more I read about these reports from what Mayorkas said at the Politico, Mayorkas won't face any official hearings. He won't have a press conference. At least this guy Roe had a press conference.
That's true.
I'll give him that much.
That's true.
It's all word. It just sounds like word salad to me. That's all I'm saying. I have no assurances that, at least intellectually, mentally, I don't have any assurance. I don't think I've seen any clearly. And like yourself, I've been working in government in and out for many years. I don't see the assurances that something has really changed. They may have put more agents on the beat, but is it enough? Are there enough resources? As our Chad Wolf said the other day, do they understand the need for threat-based resource allocation? Yep. That kind of thing. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think that Trump has full presidential protection now?
Who knows? They won't tell us that, but it's a management problem. It's not a resource problem. Over the last 10 years, their budget has increased 65% from $2 billion to $3.3 billion.
Wow.
Their headcount's gone up 32% from 6,300 people to 8,300. And by the way, they're housing an agency, DHS, whose budget is $190 billion, 240,000 personnel. That's their headcount. They have people that can, they do transfer them into the Secret Service when you have these security surges. So again, it's not a matter of resources. I don't want Congress to be passing more, because that's always the solution, right? More money.
Yeah.
Problem. Well, more money. No, it's a management problem.
Okay. Remember, we had a gentleman on who had spent 20 years in the FBI, who was working very closely with Secret Service. He had a different opinion. Do you remember that? Just a couple days ago, he said these people are stretched out too thin, and that they need more resources. Well, Ron Johnson is dropping some numbers here, and he's not done. Listen to this.
Those were staggering numbers, Senator Johnson. Just run through those Secret Service numbers again. How much has their budget gone up?
From $2 billion to $3.3 billion. So that's 65%.
Mm-hmm.
Headcount from 6,300 to 8,300. They protect 36 people, Larry. 36.
Wow.
Wait, okay. Whoa. What? They protect 36 people at that budget level? That was the stunner of the whole thing to me today, that their funding has gone up the way it has gone up in the billions, and they've got 36 people to protect. I get it. That's 36 people and 36 busy schedules. But when you think about presidents and vice presidents and spouses and former presidents and all that, you're thinking, oh, God, they must have a zillion people that they got to take care of. I thought that was very interesting.
You only have a couple that need the presidential level. So
yep.
They have plenty of people, plenty of resources within DHS. It's a management problem.
And many people have said, with respect to the personnel of the service, that unfortunately, affirmative action and DEI and woke hiring practices have entered into it, just as they've entered into a lot of our security areas, including the military, in recent years. Do you find that to be true in your investigations?
I think that was probably Cheadle's primary mission was DEI.
Ugh.
And I think that really reflects the management level. I agree with President Trump. I think the agents on the ground, first class. I mean, the one guy obviously saved President Trump's life. They'll throw their bodies in front of him. So it's not the agents on the ground. It's their management.
Mm.
And I think that has probably been eroded by DEI, like our military. It's a travesty.
The budget has gone from $2 billion to $3.3 billion. 65% headcount, 6,300 to 8,300, and they protect 36 people. That is a very interesting set of numbers. All right, 5:33, Steve Holsham Show. We got to get a check of news and weather coming up here on the program. And then when we come back, U.S. companies are hiring at their slowest pace in 20. Oh, I did that already. Hang on. No, I got to talk about Kamala Harris. We've got a soundbite from Kamala Harris that even had Oprah cringing. And we're going to play that for you coming up next on the Steve Holsham Show. I just saw a nugget that I want to pass along to you. We were talking about earlier the Challenger Grand Christmas survey about U.S. employers, a 41% decrease in their hiring plans from last year to this year. Here's another nugget that came out of that same report, that the U.S.-based employers announced that they cut 75,891 jobs in August. That is a 193% increase from the 25,885 cuts announced 1 month prior. That's not good. A 200% increase in people getting laid off across this country. I think this is what the Fed is scared about. They don't see inflation yet going nuts, but I think they know that the jobs picture is bad. And that will eventually, they believe, take care of inflation. I don't know if they're right about that, but it certainly will slow the pace when you have a lot of people that don't have a job and therefore can't go on vacation, buy nice things, blah, blah, blah. All right, 540 here, Steve Hallstrom Show. From the text line, Steve, I cannot wait until the election is over. I'm sure many of us are suffering from ESD, election stress disorder. But 2 Timothy 3:1 says, in the end time, perilous and stressful times will come. But personally, I think God will decide this election. He's in charge and knows perfectly what to do. Yeah, that's what allows me to put my head on the pillow. I can't explain how the Biden administration came about, but it says in Scripture he appoints the rulers, and that gives me peace. And there's always hope. There's always something to hold on hope for. So whatever happens this election, I'm going to show up the day after with a smile on my face, but it might be harder to find one that day if Kamala Harris wins the election. I don't think Americans are ready for her. Socialism at best, communism at worst, I just don't think they are ready for that. And I try not to make it personal about Kamala Harris. I gave up a long time ago trying to judge people on, is this a good person or a bad person? It doesn't matter. But clearly she's not capable of doing the job that is being set out for her, or not able to do it well, right? I mean, anybody can do any job. It's just you might not be able to do it very well. So Kamala Harris was doing an interview here. This was, last night. And so the whole time she's giving this answer, this goes a minute 57 seconds. And the whole time, what you're not going to be able to see here, because you're listening to it, I'm seeing the video, is that even people behind her in the crowd are kind of going, this isn't going well. Even Oprah, I think, was saying, please make it stop. I don't think her campaign is going to let her do any more of these.
We love our country. I love our country. I know we all do. That's why everybody's here right now. We love our country. We take pride in the privilege of being American. And this is a moment where we can and must come together as Americans, understanding we have so much more in common than what separates us. Let's come together with the character that we are so proud of about who we are, which is we are an optimistic people.
We have joy.
We are optimistic people.
We're joyful.
Americans, by character, are people who have dreams and ambitions and aspirations. Yeah. We believe in what is possible. We believe in what can be. And we believe in fighting for that. That's how we came into being.
Oh, boy.
Because the people before us understood that one of the greatest expressions for the love of our country, one of the greatest expressions of patriotism, is to fight for the ideals of who we are, which includes freedom to make decisions about your own body, freedom to be safe from gun violence, freedom to have access to the ballot box, freedom to be who you are and just be, to love who you love openly and with pride, freedom to just be.
Just be.
And that's who we are. We believe in all that. And so this is a moment where we stand knowing what we are fighting for. We're not fighting against. It's what we're fighting for.
Thank you. Thank you. Madam Vice.
Obviously, no mention of any answers to the problems that really afflict Americans. Obviously, Oprah is not asking her, why can you not get inflation under control? Why can you not get the border under control? Why do we have China flying spy balloons over our country? Every answer of hers to every question is either about her being a middle-class kid or about her just talking about some sort of vague philosophical approach on how we should be nice and we should come together and I want to be a president for all people, which is untrue if you really look at the policy that they've had. And I just don't know. If the right person for the job happens to be a black person, I am all for it. If it happens to be a woman, I'm all for it. If it's a black woman, I'm all for it. But we got to have the right black person, the right black woman, the right person. It has to be the right person. And they have to be able to give you some confidence that they can fix the problems of this country. And she's going to have conversations about we need to have the freedom to just be. When we need the freedom to not have inflation going up 20% over 3.5 years. And we need the freedom to feel like crime and mental health is not going to end my life or the life of the people that I care about when we're walking down the street because the jails are full and now we don't know what to do with all of these people. We need to have the freedom to believe that we've got a country that actually has a border, that has an intelligent immigration policy. We need immigration. We need immigrants to come to this country. We have a need for people to come to our country to make it better, to provide a labor force and people that can contribute in other ways, education and science and researchers and all that. Those people want to come here. And we need to have them here. And I happen to love the spice of life and the variety that immigration and people from all walks of the globe. I love that diversity. I love going to places where it's not just people that look like me. I love that. I love, well, where'd you come from? Why are you that? You know, what's your story? What are you all about? Why do you eat that kind of food? You know, how do you fix your hair when your hair is like way different than mine? I love all of that stuff. I think most every American does. Yeah, you can find a couple. But you have to do it in a way that makes some sense. And what we're doing right now makes no sense. There's no responsibility. There's no tough choices. There's no leadership in any of that. All we get is we want to have the freedom to be, to just be unbounded by what is it. I listen to her and I say, give me something that's going to make me feel like tomorrow's going to be better. Maybe if you're sitting on your couch smoking some weed and you listen to her talk like that, you maybe, oh, yeah, cool. We're going to have the freedom to just be, man. That's maybe that gets you going. I don't know. I want to figure out how we're going to get more people working. I want to figure out how they're going to make more money. I want to figure out how we have more safety, how we handle mental illness and mental health in our country. I want to know how we're going to protect our country and how we're going to decide what we get involved with overseas. And when we do go overseas, that we have a strong presence. That's what I want. I want the freedom to be a guy who knows that that all is going to happen. And I just don't know how you get any of that out of what Kamala Harris says. It just, every time I listen to her talk, it just gets worse and worse. Let's talk about Minneapolis for a second. I worked in downtown Minneapolis for about 4 years, right after I got out of college, and a pair of office buildings sold in 2019 in downtown Minneapolis, two nice buildings, for $74 million, downtown Minneapolis, 633,000 square feet, all right? They just sold again. Guess what they sold for now? $74 million 5 years ago. They sold for $6 million, 10 bucks a square foot. You can't find somebody's basement to remodel to start a little mail order business for 10 bucks a square foot. The meltdown in office properties across the United States is beyond wild. And what does it mean? Why does it matter? So what? The so what part of this whole thing is that businesses are not confident. They're not expanding. We just told you about the number of people that are being laid off. I imagine these buildings don't have anybody in them right now. And that's what you get, building after building, and it starts and it spreads and it's blight and then it's nobody's there. So you're not going to end up having anything going on there. So I just thought that was really interesting. We see so many of these right now. And yeah, I know more people are working from home, but you can't blame it on that anymore. Every company out there wants their people to come back to the office. All right, 549. Tom in West Fargo wants to get in on the conversation. Hey, Tom. Tom, good afternoon. Welcome to the show. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
There we go.
So just real quick. So what else have we learned back in Genesis? Who else lied just like she does and made it sound all slick and smooth and took a bite of an apple or some type of fruit? That's exactly what Harris is doing. This is not going to go over well, what I'm saying, but this is as smooth as she is. That's how smooth she is.
Well, she has her moments when she's smooth. I don't know that what we just heard was particularly
it's dripping.
Eloquent.
No, it's not eloquent, but it's dripping. And if they're going to appeal to the people that don't have, a brain in their head, and they will vote for her because, oh, it's just la-la land. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well,
sorry, that's just how I hear that.
I gotcha. Yeah,
and
Tom.
Is she on drugs?
No, I don't think so. I just think she doesn't have positions on the issues that matter. This is not personal. My dislike for her has nothing to do with, if I was a friend of hers, we went out for dinner, we'd have a great time. I'm sure of it. She seems to find a way to smile and laugh about things. It's nothing personal, but she cannot do the job that she's auditioning for. Because when you hear her talking about that, we need to hear people talking about, like, okay, talk for 2 seconds about coming together and then tell us how you're going to do it and what that will allow our country to become. And she just gets lost in this train of nothingness when she speaks.
Yep.
And that's why I say she can't do the job. And the only people I think that are really behind her are people that for some reason have talked themselves into or let someone else talk them into not liking Donald Trump. Or you might be a member of a certain subculture in the country and you feel like life will be better if someone like Kamala Harris is your president. I think that's the only way you get people that are excited about her. She's a completely fabricated candidate. I say that all the time. She has no accomplishments, no resume. She didn't get a single vote in the Democrat primary. She is completely fabricated by the media. The only difference between when she was trailing Trump by 15 points and now is that the media has told you that she's popular. That's the only difference. Tom, thanks for calling, brother.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah, have a great day. I appreciate it. Thanks for giving a call. All right, we're going to let Tom go because he's got to get out of the truck, it sounds like. We got to get to a break. Let's get one more commercial break in. When we come back, I'm going to give you some thoughts on some of the big football games here. We got the Bison. We got the Vikings. We got the Gophers. We got a lot of good football to talk about coming up next on the Steve Alstrom Show. All right, from the text line, Steve, you going out with Kamala, you would get up and leave once she started laughing. Maybe. I don't know. Judging on some of the video that has surfaced of Kamala Harris in her earlier days, that girl knows how to have a good time on a Friday night. So maybe it wouldn't be all that bad to hang out with her. I don't know. All right, let's talk a little football. I got a couple minutes left in the show. The Bison host 1-2 Towson coming up tomorrow, homecoming. Towson is coming off a loss at fourth-ranked Villanova, 14-13. They haven't put up a lot of points this year, but it looks like their defense isn't too bad. And coming off a pretty good performance. So second-ranked NDSU awaits. NDSU is a 24-point favorite in that game. I think that's about right. Bison probably win it by 2-3 touchdowns. I don't think it'll be particularly close in the end. So hopefully the Bison will get that win and move to 3-1. I'm guessing that defense is going to be a little cranky after giving up as many yards and points as they did last week. Minnesota Gophers are a 2.5-point underdog at home to Iowa. Iowa got beat by Minnesota on its home field last year. They are going to be looking for revenge, and they have convinced themselves that they got cheated out of a win in that game because of a penalty that was called on them. So if you're a betting person, Iowa -2.5 is a little tempting for me. Minnesota's better, though. Minnesota's not a bad team. This can be really close. I think it goes right down to the wire. I can see Iowa coming out and being really focused, playing maybe their best game. So we've got that game going on. The Vikings will be taking on the Houston Texans. Both teams are 2-0. The Vikings are a 2-point underdog at home, kind of like the Gophers. I don't know how to pick this game. I really don't. I think Houston's good. I think the Vikings are better than we thought. A couple weeks ago, I think maybe the Texans would have been picked to be 3.5 or 4-point favorite. I think the Vikings can win this. If they win this one, by the way, and kind of follow up a really good performance against San Francisco with a win here, I think it's time to start talking about the Vikings being for real. Should be a fun weekend of football. I love this time of year as well. Follow me on Twitter, by the way. I do football picks against the spread. I do 5 every week called the Friday 5, and we'll do that here this week too. Have a good night, my friend. Great weekend, and keep flying that flag.